step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 863. I, as I always am Lisa Sheps. Poor Nicole Shiro is not well, so I will not have her tonight, but we're lucky enough to have apprentice Rebecca Paisner.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. It is Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. On the show today, we have St. Edward's and the Mary Moody Northern Theater and their show, You're in Town. And later on, we're going to be talking to our old dear friends at Austin Shakespeare, and they're doing a show I've heard is called Macbeth. And of course, we are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, in El Paso, who does not have an airport. I enjoy the career that I picked. I am your dentist. And I get off on the... I am a dentist. Well, Rebecca Paisner. Paisner. I mispronounced it, didn't I?
Yeah,
and I
okay.
told you I would.
Yeah.
You are what we call here at Co-op an apprentice,
mm-hmm.
Which means you're learning how to operate all this stuff. But you have a theater background.
Mm-hmm.
Tell folks.
I just started getting into theater after I finished my PhD in biology.
So you have to salute, Rebecca. Everybody here in the studio just saluted.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And you've gotten back into theater and you are a scenic designer.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Wait, can you tell us anything you've designed?
Sure. Recently at Intramural Theater in New Orleans,
NOLA, we like to call that.
Oh, yeah, NOLA.
That's insiders call it that.
Okay. Yeah. There, I made a giant fish prop that fell out of a trap door, which was disguised as an HVAC.
So it fell out of a trapdoor up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's amazing. I love that. Well, great. And you are here learning all the equipment at Co-op so that you can have your own show. What kind of show do you want to do?
I'm interested in showcasing North African music since that is my heritage. I love Gnawa, Rai, and a lot of Middle Eastern music as well.
Cool, that's amazing. I just found out, so I have 23andMe, 99.9% Ashkenazic Jew, but they changed it. I went back. I'm now less Ashkenazic Jew, and I've got some North Africa in me.
Wow.
Very little. So we're like sisters from another mister.
Maybe soon you'll be even more.
You never know. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have Casey Graham.
Hello.
Casey Happy R.T. Graham?
Yes.
Ryan okay, Thomas. It is. Yeah, it just says RT.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Casey Graham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Casey Rough and Tumble Graham.
There you go. Welcome to the show. First timer.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Lynn Kenning, hi.
Hi, got all 10 fingers today.
Excellent, me too. Gabrielle North, welcome back.
Hello.
Cameron Callahan.
Hello.
Of course, we have Jarrett Mallon.
Good afternoon.
And somewhere here, we got Tex. There he is. Cohen, say hello.
Howdy.
Tex, or as his mother likes to call him, Aiden Dunn. I don't know that for sure. I'm just guessing. So I played a piece from an unknown, little-known show called, what's it called? Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah, that's my problem, is I can't remember things. So I play that because, you know, it's been off Broadway again, yet another revival. But they had a cast change, which I think is very cool. And oh my God, I can't find it on my, and my memory isn't working for me. No, I didn't put it in my notes. and I can't remember who's in the cast that they did. So I brought it up for no reason at all. But that version was the latest revival Josh. That... Go ahead and say it.
Jordan Fisher, Nikki M. James, and Andy Carl.
Yes, yeah. Andy Carl's going to play the dentist.
Didn't he do it already?
Huh? I'm not sure.
I thought he did.
But he's great. Cool.
Thank you for doing that. I normally am, it's not here in my notes, and it's crazy, and, and my memory is not what it should be. But I thought that was interesting. I like the idea of Andy Carl playing that role. And who we just heard playing it was Christian Borle, who I'm in love with, just for what it's worth. Okay, so that was that. That's why I played it. And I'm, and then the next thing that we're going to talk about is we had an opening at City Center for Encores, which was more back to its roots, really.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Hold on. Why am I not hearing you? Oh, you know why? You know why I'm not hearing you? Because my headphones don't like that microphone. But I think the folks can hear you. So this was High Spirits, which is a musical version of Blithe Spirit. Has anybody seen either of those?
I've seen Blithe Spirit.
I did Blithe Spirit in the early 70s. I was the prop master.
Was that the revival with Angela Lansbury?
Yeah.
On the bicycle.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a big deal.
Did we see it together? We may have seen that together.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. Y'all had a date.
Maybe we did.
You never know. So this production stars Andrea Martin in that same role. Philippa Sue, Stephen Pasquale, and Katrina Link. I'm in love with all of those people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'd said going into this is back to their to what Encores' core is, because it was originally started to play little-known, less-produced kind of niche musicals with a script in hand, with a week of rehearsal and a week of performance. And they did that again. So they're back to script in hand. They've sort of kind of slid into major productions, which have then gone on, many of them, to go on to Broadway. But this was more of a stage readings with big names. And part of the plot of this, it says, novelist Charles Condamine, played by Stephen Pasquale, invites the eccentric medium Madame Arcadi, played by Andrea Martin, to hold a session with spirits to research a new book. He is stunned when a ghost of his late wife, Elvira, played by Katrina Link, suddenly turns up, an apparition who seemingly made of ethereal silver. And then his current wife, Ruth, who's played by Philippa Sue, is none too happy by this development, and wackiness ensues.
It always ensues. Always.
It does.
Yeah.
Looks like a lot of fun. This was originally done in 1964, and Noel Coward, who wrote Blithe Spirit, was in it.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I feel like somewhere deep down I knew that, but I wouldn't answer it on Jeopardy, but I feel like somewhere deep down.
And also Rachel Dratch is in this. Mm. Yeah, is playing the maid. So it's a great cast.
Fantastic cast.
Great cast. I should tell you who's reviewing this. This is Elizabeth Vincent Telly, who reviewed this for the New York Times. The score and the orchestra were kind of highlighted. It was a 29-piece orchestra? 29-piece orchestra. And the score is by Hugh Martin and Timothy Gray. You know what? It's playing through February 15th, so we have time to go see it. Y'all want to go?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Come on.
Why not?
If we leave now,
we can make it. We have a big weekend here, so we're probably not going to jet off for it. But
whatever.
We can catch a lot of the cast and other stuff very soon.
Yeah. Whatever. So this, the original was directed and choreographed by Gower Champion, which I thought was interesting. It was up for Tonys, but did not win anything. Because it says who, the Wikipedia page, which is where I learn everything, said what it was up against. But it was up against some major, major things. I think one was a Bob Fosse something or other. Sweet Charity, maybe? 64? Anybody?
Oh, I don't know.
Musical theater fans?
Definitely.
Y'all were alive back then.
We were.
Yeah, we were. These are students at St. Ed's, for those keeping score. All right, anyway, High Spirits, I want to see it. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Definitely.
Okay, cool.
Of course. Why not?
Can't think of a reason. Well, there's a lot of reasons why not. Also, in an article from the New York Times written by Michael Paulson, I don't know how I missed this, but it's the Galileo musical. Mm-hmm. You know anything about it?
Yeah.
What do you know?
It premiered in San Diego. That's kind of all I know. Raul Esparza starred in it.
Yep. It premiered at Berklee Repertory.
Berklee Repertory. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Got me. California Cities.
Yep.
Correct.
That was it's okay.
Quiz.
They're all the same.
That was a quiz you failed. Oh,
sorry.
No.
So this is a pop rock musical about Galileo Galilei. And it is going to open on Broadway at the Schubert Theater on December 6th, starting previews in November 10th. And it stars... Dun, 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 dun. Anybody know?
Besides Raul Esparza.
That's who it stars.
Oh, yes. Raul
and Joy Woods.
Joy Woods.
Yep. And, as well as Zoe Sarnak. That's my phone.
And I will say, you know what beat High Spirits? Hello, Dolly.
Oh, also Gower Champion.
I looked it up.
Oh, Hello, Dolly. Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, you said Hello, Dolly, and... So my mind went to, because we were talking before about Gypsy. So my mind went to Gypsy and Joy Woods.
Joy Woods.
Oh. Yeah.
So I went, I took a whole trip when you said that.
So good.
It's amazing.
So
and so this was, it's also got Jeremy Kushner, who I don't know. The songs are by Zoe Sarnak and Michael Weiner. And it is written by Danny Strong. The director is somebody named Michael Mayer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard of him.
Yeah.
Who also directed Spring Awakening that I saw at St. Edward's.
Really?
Oh, right.
Yep.
And the current Chess Revival.
Whoa.
And the current Chess Revival. Starring one, what's her name?
Leah Michelle.
I was trying to remember her character name from Glee. Rachel.
Rachel Berry.
Yeah. So anyway, this looks great. It's like something that I would like to see. And I like that it's an original piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not based on one other. And I despise using this word, IP, because it's overused these days. It's too ubiquitous in our zeitgeist. So I want to start a new paradigm by lifting up, seeing a flag and seeing who will salute it. Okay, that's all the things I can do. All right, I'm done. So I should say, I'm supposed to do this at the beginning of the show, but I always forget, that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or anybody here at Co-op, just our crazy opinions. Who has heard of a newspaper called The Washington Post?
I have.
I have.
Yeah. Tex raised his hands, which doesn't really work on the radio. but he's not near a microphone either, so whatever. So they laid off like half of their staff, which is just awful to begin with. And one of the people they laid off was the chief theater critic, Naveen Kumar. So they have no theater critic.
Mm.
Sounds like the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any opinions on that? They also got rid of its sports section, which I don't care about. Nicole would fight me on that. The books department and their podcast.
So what are they going to be writing about?
Trump stuff.
Right, right.
Anything Trump does. They're keeping all their political and news stuff.
I see.
Rebecca, what are your thoughts?
Well... I guess like anything that's happening in this political climate, it's just all more transparent now.
True. It's all out there in the open. We say the quiet stuff out loud, don't we, nowadays? This I found interesting. I don't have an article on this, but has anybody heard of the baloney? B-E-L-O-N-I, not baloney, like the meat. Theatrical Animals?
No.
Company?
Oh, Berloney.
Berloney,
yes.
I misspelled it. Thank you.
He's great.
Thank God you're here. And it's Bob Berloney, I think.
Bill Berloney.
Bill Berloney. So I just chanced across an article. He has been training animals for Broadway and movies forever. He picks up rescue dogs and gives them a family, and then whenever it's done, he doesn't like throw the dog out, which I would do, but finds a home for them. And he's been doing it since he started in 1974 with Annie.
Yeah, he's super humane. We used him on the Wizard of Oz tour I worked on.
Okay.
And it was really special because there were two dogs and they like both did certain things, but sometimes they wouldn't do a show if the like setup in a city was weird and they could see too much lights, the one dog would get nervous. So like he didn't force it to do it.
Diva.
All the other dog that show. It was just really, really nice and sweet and Aww. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, you can get information. He's got a website that I have links to at our website, offstageonair.com. But just listen just a little snippet of him. Here he is.
Phil Berlone is a top theatrical trainer whose animals are featured all over Hollywood, Broadway, TV, movies, you name it. Phil, who have you brought with you today?
Today I have Chico and Romeo.
Oh, so cute. Chico's a chihuahua here.
Yep, and Romeo's our bulldog.
I was telling you, my parents have a chihuahua mix.
And that thing absolutely. What are some of the roles that we know your animals from?
I started my career with the original dog in Annie, the musical.
Wow, Sandy.
So, yep, with Andrea McArdle back in 1977. And I just did the Annie movie with Quinvenjanae Wallace and Jamie Foxx.
Amazing.
But, you know, we've trained, these dogs are from Legally Blonde, the musical. And I've trained Toto's with The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
And we have series on and all sorts of stuff.
Wow, lots of cool stuff. And one of the interesting things about this, all the dogs are animals that you work with, you have a personal relationship with them, you rescue them.
Yeah.
What drew you to this kind of work? How did you even sort of, I guess, come about it and think of it?
I was 19 years old. And
I just thought it was very interesting. So you can go to his website and see there's a whole bunch of videos there. And I love it. We have sort of a, you know, we've had Darren, oh my God, I just lost his last name, who does the Mutt Cracker Suite every year. And he has very much the same operation. And when we did a show that needed a dog, he hooked me up to a similar person here locally. And we got... what's the character, the dog character's name in Legally Blonde? Bruiser. What?
Bruiser.
Bruiser. Bruiser. Yeah, Bruiser. Yeah. So we got Bruiser, who she got and trained for Legally Blonde here, I think in Georgetown, and then named him Bruiser. And Bruiser was in our show, Rainfall Special and Me, at Ground Floor Theater, and he stayed at my house.
Oh.
But just the whole thing, the whole animal thing is so cool.
Yeah.
We love dogs. Awesome. We love them.
So when in your Wizard of Oz tour, did you ever not be able to have a Toto?
No, we always had a Toto because there were two, so one could always do everything.
One could
but
always, yeah.
Sometimes they were trained to both do the show because they were better at certain skills, but they could both do the whole thing if they needed to.
Cool. Well, listeners to this program know that in 1974 I toured with the production of Wizard of Oz, and I played Toto.
Oh, nice.
And I did not have a trainer.
Did you get little bits of peanut butter as
I
reward?
I got lots of really good treats. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. So we also got word that Moulin Rouge is closing. And I have not seen Moulin Rouge, and I wanted to.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a big spectacle.
Yep. So we are running out of time. So let's see. I'm going to talk just about one more thing, and that's we talked last week about the Grammys, who won the best Broadway, the best cast album was Buena Vista Social Club, and they are doing a performance that I just think is great. On March 26th, they are having a one-night dance-along performance.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Did you know about it?
I just read about it this morning, yeah.
Yeah, a dance-along performance in a Broadway house.
Yeah.
So they're inviting people to dance along in their seats, you know, or at their seats. And it is hosted by newcomer and Tony Award winner Lin-Manuel Miranda. It happens on March 26th. So y'all will be done with your show by then, so you can go see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And dance it.
Sounds awesome.
Have you seen Buena Vista Social Club?
I did, yes. I loved it.
Did you love it?
It's hard to not dance during it. So that would be a fun performance to see.
We should say, and we'll learn this later, that Casey lives in New York, so he has got the opportunity to go see all these things that us Texans don't get to see all that much. But I thought that was very interesting and cool. Finally, two things. Shaboom. which is a play called, I'm going to find it. It's a jukebox musical called Shaboom. That's not the full name. Life Could Be a Dream. It is set in the early 80s, featuring iconic doo-wop hits by The Chords, The Silhouettes, Little Anthony, The Imperials, and so on and so forth. This is a curated and adapted by Roger Bean. It uses the classic songs to tell the story of young dreamers on their quest to life-changing radio contest. They just released a cast album. I love that kind of music. How do we feel about, we talked about this last week, but how do we feel about jukebox musicals in general? Jarrett wants to say something. He's up on his feet.
Well, I feel good about them.
Do you?
In a lot of ways. Okay. I do think it's a little bit of a gateway theatrical device to get people who may not go see some shows like You're in Town to get into the theater and then say, oh, I really love Jersey Boys. What else can I go see?
Yeah,
so I think they serve a purpose in some ways, but also, like you say, their name recognition, and they sell tickets, and
yeah,
you know, they drive the industry sometimes.
So, I like the idea of it a gateway show. I think that's a, you've just changed my, you've modified my opinion of jukebox musicals. Anybody else have an opinion? Go for it, somebody. No.
I mean, it's all theater at the end of the day, right? I mean, as long as we're getting people out there to see art, I think that it can be fun. But at a certain point, sometimes it is like repetitive. But I mean, jukebox musicals have given me a job a few times.
There you go.
Hey, I'll take it.
I love, you know, no matter the show, whether I like it or not, I like that it's employing people. You know, we talked last week about jukebox musical, and there's basically two kinds. There's the ones that take music from an artist or a type of artist and weave a story around. I find those very, Mamma Mia is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. The stories tend to be very weak because they're trying to make the story fit the music. And then there's the other things like Jersey Boys that I like a little bit better that tell the story and beautiful, that tell the story of the musicians. This one lands in the former, but I like bebop music, and I like the type of music. So we will hear a little piece of that at the very end of the show when we walk away. So that's why I mention it now. And the final thing that I wanted to mention, it's Broadway TikTok, which listeners to the show know that I'm addicted to TikTok. But this hasn't hit my algorithm. And this is Broadway dances. That it's actually done by design, and Jerry, you and Tex will find this interesting, that's done by their marketing department. They'll release a dance piece from a Broadway show to try to get people to do those dances. And they've been very popular, and it talks about four specific ones from Just in Time, Splish Splash, mm-hmm. from Chicago, We Both Reached for the Gun, which I think is a perfect one. From The Great Gatsby, New Money, and from Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York, a song called New York. And none of these, because I'm listeners to this show know how addicted I am to TikTok. This isn't on my algorithm. I haven't seen any of them. So I actually had to go through and I looked at, I searched for the one from The Great Gatsby, New Money. And they're really fun, and they go the gamut from, in the Great Gatsby one, they had the assistant choreographer and one of the dancers actually teaching the steps to people. And then you see, you know, a couple of people in their basement to like dance companies in their dance studio. And it's so wonderful to watch those things. Anybody else addicted to that stuff?
Well, I think one of the original ones was in Wicked, when they did in the movie of Wicked,
the book one.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. book one.
Yeah, not original ones, but was one right. of the ones that they did. Yeah.
Well, original on TikTok.
That one was on my algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was everywhere. Yeah.
And then you might even see it in a little bit of our show.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get ready to talk about your show in just a little bit. So we're gonna take a little break and come back so that we can talk about Jarrett's show. and we will take a little break from The Great Gatsby. We're going to listen to that song that people are dancing to, New Money. We'll be right back. New Money, Young Rich and Wild. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Rebecca and a cast of thousands. And now I'm going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here, which is to talk about their production of Urinetown at St. Edward's Mary Moody Northern Theater. And we have from that show the director, Casey R.T. Graham. Hi, Casey.
Hello. Happy to be here.
We have two of the incredible actors, Gabriel North, who is a senior at St. Ed's.
Yes, I'm here, Gabriel North.
Did I mispronounce your name?
Yeah.
I said Gabriel.
Yeah.
Yeah. People Gabriel, Gabriel, Gabriel. So it's a musical. and then St. Ed's sophomore, Cameron Callahan.
Hello.
You actually pronounce it Cameron?
Cameron.
I love that. That's perfect for me. So, Casey, tell us about the show Urinetown. Oh, and I should say that Lynn Kenig is here off mic, but she waved.
Urinetown is this great, sort of very funny musical, but also with kind of a very serious message buried beneath it.
It does indeed, and it timely.
Opened on Broadway, I believe, 2001. So it was right around actually 9/11, which I think is one of the reasons it really succeeded, was it was like a reason for people to laugh again and to come to the theater and lift up. It ran 5 or 6 years on Broadway, and then now has been done across the country at various theaters, regionally, colleges, universities. It takes place, it's a fictitious town in the not so distant future, seemingly less not so distant the more we get into current situations,
true,
where water has become so scarce that toilets are illegal privately. So everyone has to use a public toilet and pay a fee for it. And it's just kind of about how that plays out.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And very, and again, timely,
weirdly,
I think.
Weirdly timely.
Yeah. Gabrielle, tell us about your character.
Well, I play Hope Cladwell in this production of Urinetown. She's kind of a character where she's so sweet and adorable and innocent that you kind of just have to roll your eyes at how sweet she is. She's kind of sheltered. She lives an innocent life. And her father is actually the business owner, the big business owner that you can kind of see him as someone in our political climate right now, where he kind of controls everything and he manipulates great masses of people. And she kind of, I think, turns a blind eye to that until she can't any longer. She meets a really nice boy and it kind of changes.
And that's the way it always starts.
Right? And it changes her entire world. And then we kind of get into the rest of the show there.
What do you enjoy about playing this character?
It's so far away from myself, which is really fun. I think
because she's sweet and you're not,
I was going to say because she speaks a little bit more high pitched, but yeah, that too. And I think it's kind of fun to go into a character that is nothing like myself and kind of, if I feel like if I don't leave the stage feeling like I am the most stupidest person on earth, then I didn't do my job correctly.
Oh, okay.
So that's been really fun. I'm laughing at myself, so that's fun.
Amazing. Well, it's a talent and a necessity to be able to do that. Cameron, tell us about your character.
I play Bobby Strong, who leads the revolution after falling in love with Hope. Actually, the day after he meets her, he leads this revolution. And the interesting thing about him is he just speaks nonsense the whole time, but does it with such passion that he leads everybody into following him against Cladwell.
What does that mean, speaks nonsense? Like, says stupid things or actually,
well,
speaks nonsense?
Just things like, there's a heart in the sky, there just is, don't ask why. Things like that.
Well,
that don't really make sense, but
it's the tone.
He means it.
They're very,
yeah.
They're very motivational.
Yeah.
So you can't think too much about them.
No,
yeah.
Don't think too much about any.
Well, that's great. I understand that we're going to hear a number from the show that you guys are going to sing. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, Casey, you want to set this number up and tell folks what we're getting ourselves into?
Yeah, this is the their second meeting, their first real conversation. And by the end of it, they are head over heels in love with each other. She's just helping him to follow his heart.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this is Gabrielle North and Cameron Callahan singing a number from St. Edward's, Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of You're in town. Piano by the incomparable Lynn Kenny.
I let someone down that I love dearly. I feel real bad about it.
Well, maybe that's nature's way of telling you that now's the time to lift someone up.
Really?
Well, sure. Do you think you'd be feeling as bad as you do if you didn't have a heart?
I don't know. I suppose not.
Of course you wouldn't. Because then you'd be dead. When darkness surrounds you and you lose your way, you have your own compass that turns night to day, and it's even with you before you depart. Be still, hear it beating, it's leading you, follow your heart.
Follow my heart? But to where?
To the clouds, if that's what your heart commands.
Even there?
To the clouds! Well, what's it saying now?
I don't know. I don't know how to follow my heart.
Well, you have to listen carefully. Here, oh, let me try.
Do you...
Oh, there it is. It's saying... We all want a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of water for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No meanness or sorrow, just cleanness tomorrow, if only you follow your heart. You see there? Even your heart knows that you should follow your heart.
Peace and joy? Plenty of water? I guess I do want those things.
There's something else your heart was saying. Maybe something I shouldn't have heard.
There was?
Yeah. It was barely audible, but I definitely heard something.
Well, what was it?
Let me try again. Maybe I can make it out this time. Oh, there it is. So faint. It's saying, follow into the open air, far from squalor and noise. Follow, someone is waiting there. Someone who shares all your hopes and your joys. Someone is waiting there. Why, my heart was telling me those exact words just the other day.
It was?
Oh, sure it was. Squalor and noise. Hopes and joys. It was telling me about all those things.
I didn't know two hearts could speak as one.
I didn't either. Until now. Here, listen.
Someday I'll meet someone whose heart joins with mine. Aortas and arteries all intertwined. They'll beat so much stronger than they could apart. Eight chambers of muscle to hustle the love in our heart. Love is kind and considerate. Love is a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of justice for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No anger or badness, just laughter and gladness.
Amazing. Wow. That was wonderful. I do love the music from this show. Mm-hmm. So we're actually kind of running out of time, but there's some things I want to talk about before we go. Casey, how are you approaching this show? And Have you? Sorry. There you go. We were having some technical issues with the arm of the thing. Yes. Anyway, how are you approaching the show from a directorial standpoint?
Yeah, the thing I told the cast on our very first day of rehearsal was these characters are operating at 150%. They are deadly serious about everything. You can't really wink at the comedy. You just have to like really dive into it head first. So that's sort of the approach we've all been taking. Yeah, I'm excited to get it up on its feet.
Well, that's great. That's exciting. So with this show, is this one we bring the kiddos to or not?
Oh, it's like PG-13.
PG-13? Yeah.
There's no bad language or anything. There's nothing super suggestive.
The kids can come.
Yeah, they can come. I mean, I think the story is heartwarming and good, and certainly, as we say, for the third time today, timely. So what I always like to do whenever I have students on, and I know that, Gabrielle, you and I spoke about this before, but you're a senior now. What are your plans after you leave St. Edward's?
Well, my plans after St. Edward's is to kind of completely remove myself from Texas.
Okay.
If I can.
Totally understand.
I'm from Texas. I've been here all my life. So I'm thinking somewhere in Philadelphia, really wherever the world takes me.
Philly's a nice town.
Yeah.
How about New York? How about Chicago?
You know what? And if I end up there, that's fine too. Yeah, I think I'm just.
And are you going to pursue theater?
Yes, I am actually.
Amazing. Wonderful. Well, good. My advice to you, or my dictate to you, is be a triple threat. Probably already are, but continue.
I'm trying to be.
Those of us that were in New York that were not triple threats didn't work that much. I was a single threat. And as it turns out, I wasn't a threat at all. It's true. Cameron, what about you? You're a sophomore. What do you plan? Do you think that you're going to continue pursuing theater after you leave school?
I'm definitely going to continue theater. I have a couple years to figure out exactly where I want to go, but I'm hoping to go to New York at some point. Austin's a great town too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. Well, best of luck to you both, although I don't think you need it. Casey, when does this show open?
We open tomorrow night.
Tomorrow on the 12th. And you play through?
The 22nd of February.
Sunday.
Wonderful. And okay, here's your final test and see if you. Oh, Jared's coming to save you. Where can folks go to get more information?
At stedwards.edu.
/theater. Yeah, I wrote it down this time. That is amazing. It's really great. I hope I get to see it, although I have a show opening at the same time, so it's not very likely. But have a great run.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
That was KCRT Graham, Lynn Kenning, Jarrett Mallon, Gabrielle North, Cameron Callahan, and Tex Aiden Dunn, all from St. Edward's Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of Urinetown, playing February 12th through the 22nd. For more information, you may visit stedwards.edu/theater. And from Urinetown, it just begs the question, what is Urinetown?
Urinetown's the end. Swift and brutal punishment, no need now.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Rebecca. Rebecca, how have you liked this so far?
Wow, this has been incredible. I've been thinking a lot about the heart leading up to Valentine's Day and the biology and the mysticism of it all.
Well, talk about that. You had mentioned something at the break. What is the anatomy of the heart? What's going on with it?
Well, most people don't know this, but the heart is a muscle that is continuous and it wraps in on itself. So blood that comes in, it's less like a pump, but it's more like blood circling in like a spiral.
Oh.
And then it circles out again to the world. And I've been thinking about the mysticism of that all. And in Sufi Islam, they say that the heart is always turning. And to me, what that represents is that when you feel like your passion is so aligned and your strength with your soul, then the way that you feel the world is so intensely towards yourself and so radiantly outwards as well.
Wow, that's 100% true. And really apt for Valentine's Day, which I have not mentioned yet on this program today. I know. I know. Hold on, Michael Galvan. Oops. I can't hear you. Your microphone wasn't
on. I said
on.
Lisa.
I know. Well, you know, I'm. Aww. You know me. I'm heartless. Well, that was that was wonderful. I've had open heart surgery, so people have actually had their hands on my heart.
Mm. Mm. Do you feel a change in your heart after that?
I do.
Nice. That's good.
I do. I do. I liked my surgeon. That voice you're hearing is Michael Galvan. We've had a change of people here. And joining us also is co-host Aunt Chiclella.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to just do our little local section where we talk about what's going on. I should say that we didn't talk about this last week. I don't think we may have, but Eddie Izzard is playing her one-person show of Hamlet at the State Theater right now. And through this weekend, I think, or through the 14th, maybe. So if folks want to go see it, I know at least one person that went to see it and really enjoyed it. Has anybody seen it?
No.
And shaking your head doesn't work on
the
radio.
We've been in the theater, right?
Yeah, been busy.
You've been in the theater, yeah. Been busy, but it's, you know, but evidently she's doing an amazing job. And hey. she's touring all over the world, and Austin was one of her stops.
Shout out to us.
All right. Okay. So, Rebecca, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What we do at this point is we round robin this next little section, and I'll start, and then you read the next one.
Okay.
You'll get the idea of how we do it. So, this is our now playing and soon to open. So we have Frontera Fest is finishing up its run through February 14th, Valentine's Day, at Hyde Park Theater.
You're really putting me on the spot.
Okay, I'll do the next one. You follow along. Okay. Broadway in Austin has got Hadestown from February 20th through the 22nd at Bass Concert Hall.
Okay, I got it now. Zach Murder on the Orient Express through March 1st. And
that's it.
That's it.
And then we have Austin Playhouse. They've got two things going here. They have Described the Night through the 22nd of this month, and Camila Full of Wishes that goes from February 28th through March 15th.
Yay.
Zach Theater again. You get a second chance at this.
Okay. Zach Theater, Murder on the Orient Express through March 1st, and Charlotte's Web through, what's five again?
May
17th.
Georgetown Palace has The Mountaintop from February 6th to March 8th. And I should say that they were able to actually find a new home for their production of Swing. And so you can go to the Georgetown Palace website and get that and support them as best you can, because they've got they had a lot of damage from the last ice storms.
Philly Grief Theater is The Last Match on February 6th.
Through the 22nd at Sterling Stage.
Oh.
And that's about tennis. So that's kind of fun. Mary Moody Northern Theater has got Year in Town. We just heard from them. They open tomorrow and they play through the 27th.
Okay, got this one. Austin Shakespeare Macbeth. February 13th to March 1st on Roland Stage.
TexArts is opening Beehive this weekend as well, February 13th through March 1st.
Then we got City Theater, Trip to Bountiful on February 20th to March 1st.
Or as we like to say, Trip to Bountiful Pippin.
Oh.
That's an inside joke that only me and Nicole get.
Oh.
Okay, and the University of Texas has its UTNT New Works Festival. It plays from the 26th of this month through March 6th. That's something where I went for my very first time last year. I'd never been before.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
NT is new theater, right? Like new
yes,
works.
Yeah. New theater. It's new works. So auditions, and I'll take this on my own. Lake Travis Musical Theater has Into the Woods that happens March 7th. Summer Break Theater is auditioning for Midnight on February 14th. City Theater's got Men in Boats. What a fun little show that is. February 9th and 10th. Oh, you missed it. Never mind that one. Ground Floor Theater has got video. We're accepting video auditions for Pueblo Revolt through the 13th of February, which is tomorrow. No, day after tomorrow. Walking Shadow Shakespeare is doing Coriolanus. Those auditions are on February 20th. And now we'll go to Today in Theater History.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's fun. If I can find it. Theater History. There it is. I found it. We'll start with birthdays. Kenny Leon, it's his birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Oh, happy
How
birthday.
How old is he?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to say he's 54.
I think he's older than that. We'll look it up. He's been around long time.
If Nicole were here, she would have already done
so.
She would know. Uzo Aduba, who's 42. I just made that up.
Yeah.
Bertolt Brecht, who was born in 1898. So we can do the math.
Dead.
Dead. Peter Allen was born in 1944. Dead
alive?
Or alive? I don't know.
Dead. He's alive. I don't remember him dying.
I don't remember him dying either. I can't remember.
That was like 80.
And also Stella Adler.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Anybody go to the Stella? Did you ever go to the Stella Adler School there in New York in the Village? Me neither. But lovely. You can't really see it because it's small, but a lovely picture of her. I don't think I know what she
is. That's a nice photo.
Openings were Death of a Salesman, the 1949 version.
Shout out.
I'm going to say that might have been the original. What do you think?
Might have been, yeah.
49? It also opened in 1999 on this date. And that would have been, who do we guess? Is that? That's not Hoffman. Maybe it was Hoffman.
Maybe.
And let's see. A Party with Betty Comden and Adolph Green opened in 1977 on this date. What is it? Where are we? Oh, I was not in New York yet. I got to New York in 77, but not until the summer. And La Bette opened in 1991. And the revival in 2022 of The Music Man with Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman?
The other Hugh.
A little different.
Did anybody ever see that one?
No.
All right. Me neither. Well, from that production, we have Iowa Stubborn, one of my favorite numbers from the show. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Rebecca. And now we're going to reintroduce our current guest for the real reason why they're here, which is their production of the Scottish play, otherwise known as Macbeth, which I have no problem saying.
Good.
In this room or any theater.
Good.
Thank you.
And we have the director of that show and the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare and our co-host, Ms. Anne Ciclella.
Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. And playing Macduff. Mm-hmm. Macduff. I like saying that.
The goodly Macduff.
The goodly Macduff.
Macduff.
Michael Galvan.
Hi, thank you.
And so this show, Macbeth, what's it about?
It's something else.
It is something else.
You know, people say that Lady Macbeth, who was known in the play, by the way, as Lady. They never say Lady.
Oh, they never say Lady Macbeth? Okay. Do they say it this way? Hey, lady.
Do they know what you're talking about?
I don't know. Do y'all know what we're talking about?
Jerry Lewis.
Oh.
They say that Lady and Macbeth are the happiest couple in Shakespeare.
Oh.
As an actual couple. I mean, there are people who get together at the end of Shakespeare plays, but you don't see them as a happy couple. You see Lady Macbeth and Macbeth as a happy couple.
No, it's tragic. And at the end of the play, he's not there. Right?
They're both not there?
She's not there.
Oh,
We have his head.
Well, who doesn't?
I thought it was well done. Did you like that?
I have his head.
He carries the head, and it's pretty,
the head.
Pretty well done by our
pretty gruesome
props person. Yeah.
So, you know when I want to see this show?
Why or when?
When? I would like to see it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
That's good, Lisa, because I thought you're busy with yellow face.
I just thought of that right now.
That's very good.
So tell us about Macduff. He's the antagonist to Macbeth.
In a way, he's the hero.
Yeah, he's the hero.
Well, I said he's the antagonist to Macbeth.
Yes. True.
Oh yeah, I'm his antagonist.
But I would think you're the hero. But why so?
He's the exact opposite of Macbeth. In the ways that he sort of like deals with, number one, his emotions, his life. Macbeth seems to be a person who's just very much, he uses his words to try and get what he wants. Macduff is very straightforward, this is what we're going to do, da-da-da-da-da. And especially, I think the scene that really kind of puts that in perspective is when Macduff finds out that his whole family and castle have been slaughtered and put to flames. And, you know, he has the line that, you know, or Malcolm says to him that, you know, oh my goodness, what is it? Dispute it like a man. And I'm like, no, hey, buddy, I'm going to feel this, okay? I have empathy. Yeah, I have empathy for what's going on. I'm going to sit here and feel this and not let it boil over into something super crazy where I end up becoming a tyrant like Macbeth. So
are you going to do some lines from that?
Yeah, I will do some lines.
Yeah,
right.
That's very brave.
Real sad.
It's like,
in just a second.
No, that's
just
fine, but we didn't discuss what he was going to do.
Oh, okay.
Diane said, you got something
really
right? And I was
gutsy.
Like, yeah, I got
it. Good. Oh, amazing.
Don't worry, buddy.
did you know that Macduff has his own Wikipedia page?
Are you serious?
Wow.
Well, I didn't find that, man.
He's got his own Wikipedia page. So you can, you know, he's got an alias. Do you know what his alias is?
What?
The Thane of Fire.
Oh,
you feel free to use that.
Whoa. That's kind of parkour.
Yeah.
And because this whole
and guess who his children are?
Oh, no. What?
Young Macduff. And he's married to Lady Macduff.
Yeah, Lady Macduff. It's just the Macduff family.
It's a whole Macduffies.
The whole Macduffies.
Well, that is amazing. So you're gonna do a little piece.
Yeah, yes. I'll do a little piece.
Do you want to set it up in any way?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to give me the cue line there?
Well, no,
Lisa?
I'd like you to tell our audience what.
Oh, okay.
Leads
yeah. So what I just explained, this scene right here is Malcolm and Macduff, and Ross. And Ross comes in telling them about the whole army of
Joanna Whitmore.
Yeah, Joanna Whitmore, amazing. And Sibo, Joanna's character comes in, tells us about the war, and is like, hey, buddy, I have some news for you specifically, by the way. And I'm like, all right, well, tell me what it is. And they end up telling me that, yeah, my whole castle's been surprised. My wife and babes have been slaughtered, and castle just to flames. Okay. And this is me sort of reacting.
Well, this will be a monologue done by Michael Galvan from Austin Shakespeare's production of Macbeth.
I will do so. But I must also feel it as a man. I cannot but remember such things were. That were most precious to me. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff, they were all struck for you. Not that I am, not for their own demerits, but for mine. Fell slaughter on their souls. Heaven rest them now. And thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're bringing it. My gosh.
Wow.
They're
dead.
Very, very good job.
The whole family dead.
Who are your Macbeth and Lady Macbeth?
Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth are Mark Puhey.
Uh-huh, I've heard of him.
For his third round of Macbeth.
Yeah.
And Helen Marino for her second round of Lady Macbeth, who really wanted to do it indoors. She did it outdoors, and it's really hard to
you're doing
be
it
intimate
indoors,
with an audience in the park.
That's true.
But we're excited, and we have lots of people. There's like 17 people in the cast, and a little boy and all that. But a wonderful group of new people to us.
Lovely.
And people who have been with us before, Ev Lunning and all that.
Great. Well, Ev Lunning, you've got the A-team.
Oh, yeah,
you got the A-team. Well, we are just about out of time. Anything else you want to highlight on the show to tell folks?
I want to say that we probably have 2 tickets left for Friday the 13th tomorrow. Friday.
Go and to see Macbeth on Friday the 13th.
What?
There's
lots of tickets for Valentine's Day. So if you want to bring your girlfriend, boyfriend, or a lover.
Wonderful. Well, that is a good idea. So when do you
Long
open?
Center. We open really on the 14th on Valentine's Day, and we close on March 4th at the Rollins Theater at the Long Center. And you can get tickets on our website or get more information on the Long Center website.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Wonderful. That was Ann Ciccolella and Michael Galvan of Austin Shakespeare's production of Macbeth. For more, playing from the 14th of this month through March 1st. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. And this is from the National Theater of Greece's production of Macbeth. And this is Macduff's Lament. We'll be right back.
This is a musical.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me and Rebecca. We just have enough time to say goodbye. How was your first experience with Offstage and On the Air, Rebecca?
Wow, what a trip. That was incredible.
It was a trip. Well, we really enjoyed having you here. Hopefully you'll come back.
Definitely.
Great. We're going to stand by for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new because his show is called What's New. He's here in the studio waving at us and trying to wrestle the microphone away from me, but I'm not going to give it to him for another 30 seconds. And as promised, we're going to go away with hearing from Shaboom, Life is a Dream. This is Unchained Melody. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks. Bo, 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 bo